We are in the last series under the theme of the church advantage, how the church is advantage to God, to us, to others. It's a series called W6. It's from the book of Proverbs, and we're talking about four W's of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Today we're talking about wealth. That's our W of the day. So wise wealth. Some of you might be thinking that this is going to be a great sermon for those who are wealthy, for those who are rich, someone who is not me. And the truth is that many of you are rich, many of you are wealthy. You just don't know you're rich because there's always someone richer. There's always someone to look at and say, that's rich. I'm not rich. That's wealthy. Wealthy's not where I'm at. Because we don't know where the rich line is. We don't know when we pass it. We don't have it drawn somewhere where we can say, you know, well, I'm not rich now, but when I get my paycheck this Friday, on the 21st of this month, then I'll be rich. That's when I'll cross over that rich line. You know, on Thursday, the 20th, I'm not rich, but on the 21st, I will be because I know where that line is and I've crossed over it and I'm rich. The fact is that really all of us here are rich. We just don't know it because we don't really know what rich is. If you were to ask people in other countries to describe rich people, they might say that some people are so rich that they own a car. There are about 600 million cars, SUVs, vans, trucks in the world. About 240 million of those are in the United States. So it's almost half the cars in the world are here in our country. There are about 6.76 billion people in the world. So if you divide, and taking out the understanding that almost half the cars are in the United States, if we just take the number of people in the world, world population, and divide those 600 million cars among those people, then we get about 9%. That the world average would be about 9% of the people own a car. That doesn't seem like a percentage I see around me or even represented in this room. Who here owns a car? Don't be embarrassed. Go on and raise your hand. Do we have someone here that doesn't own a car? One, two. Some kids in the back. Okay. So we're what? 98% of the people in this room own a car. So if you're in that 98%, you're in the top 9% of the world. You are rich. You are rich. Some people are so rich that they even have a house for their car. When some people in the world don't even have a home to live in, there are people in this world that are rich enough to have a home for their car. They're called garages. Some people have the three-car garage. They have two spots for their cars because they're so rich that they have two cars, and they've got an extra spot for all their extra junk. Some people are so rich that they have cars that they don't even drive. They just keep in their garage, and they keep them shined up because the purpose of having that car is to keep it looking like you never drive it. Some people are so rich that they even buy cars for their kids. Then they get in their cars, these rich people do, and they drive to these things called restaurants, and they pay people to make their food for them. That's how rich they are. They pay people to cook their food, to bring it to them, and to clean up after them. And some of them are so rich that they eat more food than they actually need. They're the fat rich. There are people starving in other parts of the world because they're poor. But if you would ask people around the world what rich people look like, this might be their description. See, these rich people, they just eat and they eat and they eat. They even eat in between meals. Some of these rich people, they have closets where they put their clothes in. Some of them have closets that are big enough to walk into. They're like little rooms of their own, and they have two rows of clothes. You have a row of clothes up here and a row of clothes down here. Sometimes they even have separate closets for the husband and the wife. You have a guy's closet and a girl's closet. And these rich people, they go into these closets, And they look at both rows of clothes and they flip through them all. And then they go through them again and then they say, I just have nothing to wear. See, that's what rich people do. But people still say, I don't feel rich. And you do so while eating a pizza that was delivered to you while reclining in your easy chair with a remote beside you to your 40-inch flat screen TV hooked up to digital cable with multiple sports networks. We are rich. We are wealthy. We live in a wealthy country. And so we should perk up when we see a chance to gain wisdom on this topic. Wisdom on wealth. So wise wealth. It starts with wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified as a woman. And she speaks to the reader. And among some of the things she says is this. In verse 10, she says, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Write this down. Wisdom before wealth. Wisdom before wealth. We just talked about this in the first message of the series, but I want to remind us all that wisdom is more valuable than wealth. We talked about how wisdom is more valuable than anything, and so wealth would fall under that. But today, very specifically, wisdom is more valuable than wealth. I'll give you a moment to write that one down because I want to jump to the next one. Wisdom is more valuable than wealth. So we should seek wisdom first. It would make sense to do that. If wisdom is more valuable than wealth, then we should seek wisdom instead of wealth. Wisdom before wealth. So seek wisdom first. A couple of verses down in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 18. Wisdom, she says, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. One of the reasons why we should seek wisdom first is because wisdom is a path to wealth. So if you want wealth, if you want wealth the right way, you need to walk through wisdom first. Wisdom says to us that with her are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity, that she bestows wealth on those who love her and making their treasuries full. Wisdom is the path to wealth. So seek wisdom first because wisdom will naturally lead to wealth. Being wise with your money. Being wise when you have an excess of money. Being wise when times are tight. Being wise with your career. Being wise with how you handle your gifts and talents. Being wise with your work, like we talked about last week. Being wise with your purchases. Being wise with your investments. All of these places of wisdom are parts of the path to wealth. And without wisdom, what good is earning a lot of money? I mean, chances are if you're not wise and you earn a lot of money, you're going to blow it. You're going to lose it. So I guess you guys already popped up there, so I can get starting to write. Wealth without wisdom first won't last. Proverbs 14:24 says, the wealth of the wise is their crown, but, and I think his wording here is a little redundant, but it's true. But the folly of fools yields folly. Folly yields folly. That seems pretty, you know, common sense, but there's a lot of wisdom there. Wealth of the wise is their crown. The folly of fools yields folly. Another proverb that's even more clear than that one in 17:16 says, of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? So wealth without wisdom first, it just won't last. So seek wisdom before you seek wealth. And then you'll be wise with your wealth. So what does being wise with our wealth look like? There are some proverbs that talk about that. Being wise with my wealth means I view my wealth as a blessing from God. Being wise with my wealth means I view my wealth as a blessing from God. Give you a second to get that one. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings what? Wealth, yes. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Wealth is a blessing from God. And he adds no trouble to it. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have wealth without trouble? That just seems, when you read that, it seems untrue. It seems like this is a farce, that this is some fantasy world that Solomon is living in when he writes this. Think about that proverb. When does wealth become troublesome? Isn't it when it gains power over us? When wealth becomes powerful in our life, when we give in to greed, when we're greedy for more and more and more, or when we're jealous of what someone else has, we're envious, or when we use it unwisely or mismanage it, that's when it becomes troublesome. If we were to view wealth as a blessing from God, all wealth, not just your wealth, when you look at someone else's wealth and you view that as a blessing from God, that takes away jealousy. When you look at how God has blessed you with what wealth you have, then there's no greed for more because you view it as a blessing. Wouldn't that help wealth to lose the power that it has to cause trouble in your life? To gain this viewpoint that it's a blessing from God, it loses its power to cause trouble. If we view wealth as our blessing, then we're going to honor God with it. So we can write this down. I use wealth to honor God first and foremost. We talked about this in January, so we're not going to spend a lot of time here. But let's review a proverb that we read in the January series, and that is Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. We honor God with the tithe by giving him the first fruits. We honor God first and foremost by giving him the first fruits. Another wise use of wealth that we talked about in the January. Is that me? Okay. Am I? Okay. It moved. Microphone problems. How's that? Hopefully it'll be good. So another wise use of wealth that we talked about in January was being generous with it. So I'm going to write that down. I use my wealth to be generous to others. The scripture reference in the bulletin on that, by the way, is wrong. So you guys can mark out 5:10. I don't know where that came from. The correct verses, and there are actually two of them, two passages, is 11, 24 through 25. So chapter 11, 24 through 25. And then chapter 22, 9. Chapter 22, verse 9. And we can read those real quick. Proverbs. What, the pack? Oh, you think it's a connection back here? It's solid. If it keeps crackling, I'll just take my tie off and clip it to my shirt so it won't be moving around as much. So, all right, so we're going to read these two passages. Pardon me for the delay. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will what? Prosper. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Proverbs 22:9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. So I use my wealth to be generous to others. That's another way to honor God with our wealth. Being wise with my wealth means that I earn it with integrity, honesty, and patience. I earn it with integrity, honesty, and patience. I read three out of that list that you have there by that. Proverbs 11:18 says, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. That's integrity. I earn it with integrity. I earn it with honesty and patience. The next two verses talk about those. Proverbs 38 says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. So that's dishonesty. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. So there's some patience involved in that, in the understanding there of just give me what I need for today. Just take it one day at a time. And Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away. But he who gathers money, how? Little by little. There's patience involved in that. He who gathers money little by little makes it grow. So being wise with my wealth means I earn it with integrity, with honesty, and with patience. Third, being wise with my wealth means my pursuit for wealth doesn't cost me my health. That is a much needed point in our world today. Being wise with my wealth means my pursuit for wealth doesn't cost me my health. Proverbs 23:4. And boy, we could just have this posted at our desk, in our bathrooms, in our bedrooms. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. How many people do we know, including ourselves, have done that, have been caught up in that, have the wisdom to show restraint? There's a powerful and freeing truth in the wisdom of that proverb. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. Too many people in our culture, in our society, they kill themselves to get rich, to gain wealth. And some of you might think, well, no, I haven't done that to gain wealth. I haven't done that to gain money. But think about your situation and where you are. Do you live in a house that's beyond your means? Do you live in a house that's more than what you need? Or do you drive a car that's nicer than what you need? Or do you work to sustain a lifestyle that's outside of our means? Because a lot of us do, and it's the norm in America. And so it's not easy to look around and compare yourself to others and say, I'm out of the norm, therefore I must be doing something wrong. No, the norm is wrong. The norm in our culture, in our society, is wrong. We live beyond our means. We live far beyond the margins of what would be a healthy lifestyle. Many of us, we kill ourselves to get rich, to get wealthy. And it doesn't mean we're killing ourselves to become billionaires. But we're definitely working ourselves, wearing ourselves out to live beyond our means. A lot of us are driven by affluenza. And that's not influenza, that's affluenza. It's from the term affluence. It is a fairly modern term, and it is defined as the bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilling feeling that results from the efforts to keep up with the Joneses. An epidemic of stress, overwork, waste, and indebtedness caused by a dogged pursuit of the American dream. An unstable addiction to economic growth. Affluenza is a fairly modern term, but it has a deep history in the human race. So much so that the cure for it was placed in Proverbs, which was written thousands of years ago. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. Show restraint. Be wise. And last, being wise with my wealth means I put my trust in God, not in my wealth. Riches are not trustworthy. They just aren't. They're not always there. Your wealth will fluctuate. Even the wisest of financial planners will tell you this. So why do so many of us put our trust in something that's not trustworthy? Proverbs 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will what? Will fall. But the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Don't put your trust in something where you're going to fall. Put your trust in God. He's your source of righteousness, and you're going to thrive like a green leaf. It's better to be poor and righteous than rich and wicked. Proverbs 28:6 says, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. You aren't going to get a blameless walk by trusting in money. You're only going to get that by trusting in God. Your wealth is not going to do you a bit of good when you die. Each of us will stand before God after we've left this world, and we will have to answer to Him. Your huge bank account, your great investments will not matter that day. Proverbs 11:4 says, "Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." It is far better, both down here and the day when we reach judgment, to trust in God instead of trusting in our wealth. So seek wisdom before wealth. Know that being wise with your wealth means that you view your wealth as a blessing from God. You honor God with your money and you use your money to be generous to others. You earn it with integrity, honesty, and patience. Your pursuit for wealth doesn't cost you your health, and you put your trust in God, not in your wealth. Wise wealth.